Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Conservative Radio. I am your host, Tracy Coyle, and I want to welcome you tonight.
And I'm Bill Hinman.
We've got a full show of interesting things to discuss tonight, and a new feature is up and running by request. There is a chat room available on the Blog Talk Radio if you are interested. We also have our chat room open and available on AmericanConservativeParty.org website. So, if you're interested in joining us in chat, or if you're interested in joining us here on the radio, our number is 652-2828. So, good evening, Bill.
Evening, Tracy. I've got just a couple of minutes to talk about, actually kind of responses to the election season. And I have been out on the internet, and I've been looking at some other chat rooms other than our own American Conservative Party chat room. And I have been on the PUMA site, which is basically mostly women that were for Hillary Clinton, are not satisfied with the outcome of their primary, and are actively supporting Sarah Palin and Senator McCain. Okay?
Oh, okay.
I have also been on a Sarah Palin site that is unabashedly for Sarah Palin, period. That's just the end of that story. And I have been participating in those chats, and I have been reading the comments on both of those sites. And here's the thing that really strikes me about that. When I go to the forums on the Sarah Palin site, I find what I would expect to find, a bunch of pretty conservative folks that are looking for small government, that are looking for government to be out of the everyday lives of people, that are looking for lower taxes, that are looking for government to do those things that it is constitutionally mandated to do, but quit doing those things that they don't have any constitutional mandate to do. And so then I go to the PUMA site. Now, most of these people, as you would expect, were Democrats. They were registered Democrats, voted the party line, absolute Democrats, absolutely disaffected with that party because of their perception that Hillary Clinton was cheated out of the nomination, and they suddenly woke up and saw what the Democratic Party was about. And when I read those comments, and I have to tell you, I have probably read 5,000 plus comments on that site. And the thing that really strikes me about that is when I read the comments, they believe pretty much the same things we believe. Smaller government, lower taxes, government out of our private lives, government not doing those things that are not mandated in the Constitution. And I thought to myself as I compared those two sites, I said, man, I, you know, I wish there was a way that I could get these people to talk to each other, because they have far more in common with each other and with what we believe than any of them would ever imagine based on what their party affiliations have been. And so I have kind of salted each site with the URL for the other site and saying, you know, you folks really ought to talk to each other. Now, I don't know that there's a lot that has come of that, but I will tell you this. I think, based on the comments that I have seen, that America is, one, a center-right country. It isn't a far-right. It isn't a far-left. It's kind of in the middle, leaning to the right. And what that tells me is that if these people get together and they figure out what they have in common, we have an opportunity to take this country back. No, I'm sorry, not back. We have this country in a position to go forward into what is actual constitutional. Those things that the federal government ought to do, it should do. And it needs to levy taxes according to that. Those things that are best left to the states will be left to the states, and those states can fund them to whatever degree they believe to be important based on their constituency in that state. And I think that if we can get those people talking, that's good for us. That's primarily good for this country. And there you have it.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think that the vast majority of people in this country are what we proclaim to be, which is conservative.
Yep.
It is a conservative not that the media portrays, but that small government, personal responsibility, stay out of our pocketbooks, stay out of our bedrooms, let us alone.
Yep.
Type of government. And I have argued often with Republicans that, Democrats, by definition, are not evil people.
Mm-mm.
In many
Mm-mm.
regards, they agree with us on most things, except for maybe how to do those things.
That's right.
Now, I agree that there are a significant number of people on the left, even very close to the center left, that have a desire not for themselves to have a big government, but a government
mm-hmm.
that will help the people they think need help.
Yep.
They don't want help for themselves, but they want help for the people that need help. And it's
yep.
a very nice impulse.
Oh, absolutely.
It's one they should try to control more. but I posted something today on the American Conservative Party website about this concept of charity.
Yes.
And it's an impulse that, people on the right are very charitable. They're willing to give of themselves time, give of themselves money to organizations that help people. The
yes.
Red Cross gets a lot of money from the left and the right
yep.
to help people that are, hit by whatever storms that, ravage that particular area of the country, whether it be a hurricane off the Gulf or Florida, off the coast, whether it be tornadoes in the Midwest, whether it be, blizzards in, the northern plains,
and it's not just
California.
And it's not just confined to America. Look at the billions of dollars that were sent to Indonesia over the tsunamis.
Right. So
and that was private charity.
Right. So we as Americans are very willing to give of ourselves, to help people. Now,
absolutely.
I think that that's a great thing, and I think we should do more of it. Now,
yep.
This is the part where everyone's going to get all bent out of shape.
Okay, here it comes.
Here it comes, okay? I think you should all contribute to charity, but don't you dare come to my house and ask me for any. And
okay.
Certainly, don't tell me that I have to give tax money to what you think is a charity.
Absolutely.
First of all, I'm not a very charitable person. I've had my experiences in my life that I have decided that I'm a really poor judge of people that need charity. And I recounted two stories that I'm going to bring back up here. The first one was when I was poor and a wage slave earning a whopping $6.50 an hour. And because I didn't have a lot of money, I was single, I would buy a 12-inch sub for lunch. And half of it would be lunch, and then I'd take the other half home, and that would be dinner. And that was my treat to myself some days.
Yep.
One night, waiting for the bus to go home, this is the city of Chicago, so do I actually have public transportation?
Yeah.
A homeless person came up to me and asked me for a couple bucks for some food. Now, being as rich as I was, I, of course, didn't have any money. I probably wouldn't have given him any money anyways, but I did offer him my dinner. And he gratefully accepted it, and he walked off about 10 feet, and he opened the package, and he looked at it, and he said, ham. And he threw the sandwich on the ground and walked away. And all I could do was stare at my dinner.
Oh, my God.
Which I had given away sitting on the ground because it wasn't what he wanted.
Oh, okay. My God.
Not that long after that, about a year after that, working at another place, downtown Chicago, I crossed a bridge every day going to and from work. And there was a guy that had staked out a spot to panhandle on that bridge. Every day he was there, I occasionally gave him some change. I was shopping at our suburban mall near my house, and who should I see but the panhandler coming out of a very fine clothing store with several bags, and we recognized each other. And he kind of nodded and hurried off in another direction. From that day on that bridge, he nodded and kept his hands in his pocket and never said a word to me on that bridge.
Wow.
Now, here's the deal, okay? Those are two very minor examples, and there's lots of really seriously in need people out there. I understand that. Okay? And if you want to help them, please feel free to do so. I think it's important that you actually be charitable, because I'm not. Okay? Now, this gets into the idea of how I feel about our election. Right now, I could vote for John McCain, and lots of people are telling me to do so, because Obama is so bad. Now, I'm not a big fan of John McCain. I've said that. I still have some issues with him philosophically. I think he's a wonderful person. I think he's honored this country with his service. He is an honorable man. I have no particular problems in that regard, okay? But voting for him would be charity. I would be giving him something of myself that he did not deserve. I'd be giving it to him just because he was he. Now, Obama, on the other hand, I'm not an Obama supporter. I'm not going to vote for Obama. There's just no way in Hades that I would do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think McCain doesn't understand the concept of charity compassion, and the role of government. On the other hand, I absolutely do believe that Obama does understand. I just don't agree with him. And I'm not going to hand him the gun that he's going to turn around and rob me with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, this is where I am at the point. So I have decided that all of the Republicans and all the conservatives that are going to vote for John McCain, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. Your act of charitable giving will not go unrecognized. I, on the other hand, am not going to give that piece of charity. And if, in fact, at the end, Obama wins, because there are people like me that won't vote for McCain, then I will suffer the consequences of my lack of charity, just like everyone else. That's my particular position on charity and the presidential election. If you want to read the whole post, please go see it at AmericanConservativeParty.org.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Actually, you know, that's kind of an interesting take on it, Tracy. My dad has had a really great story that he used to tell about charity. And I actually only heard it a couple of times, and I was probably, I don't know, maybe 13 or so when I heard the story for the first time. But I'm, you know, given my age, my dad was a World War II veteran, and he was stationed in Paso Robles for a while, some kind of training, I believe. And back in that time, when the troops got paid, they got paid in cash and they got paid in $2 bills. And that's kind of an interesting concept. But anyway, that's what happened. And so, on paydays, of course, the troops would go on into town to buy whatever they were looking to buy. And my dad said there was this guy, older guy, old guy, dressed in raggedy clothes, begging. And, of course, you know, GIs and people at that time were pretty giving.
Pretty generous.
Yeah, pretty generous. And so, obviously, the guy collected $2 bills. And one day on a payday, my dad was in the bank, and he saw this guy in his raggedy clothes in the bank, making a deposit. And so my dad asked the teller that he was transacting business with, he said, "Who is that guy?" And the teller said, "Oh, he's probably the richest guy in town. And I have to tell you, when I heard that story, the conclusion that I drew was, actually a couple of conclusions. One, you really cannot tell a book by its cover. And two, you need to be really careful about who has their hand out and why is their hand out." And that story kind of drove that home to me even at the age of 13. It was like, oh, you mean people would actually lie about what their circumstances are? Would they actually ask people for money when they didn't really need it? Oh boy. Okay, fine. So
yeah.
I'm, you know, from that perspective, I agree with you. My own personal thing is, when I look at the only choices that I have available to me in this election, I can either I've got four choices. I can, one, vote for Obama, which I will not do. I can, two, not vote. And I have to tell you, I have never not voted in a presidential election. Actually, I've never not voted in any election since I've been eligible to vote. I could vote for a third party, a Bob Barr, a Ralph Nader, a whoever, or I can vote for John McCain. I'm not about to not vote. I can't vote for Obama. I really don't want to throw my vote away by voting for somebody that has no chance. So for me, that leaves, I have to vote for John McCain. He's not a conservative. He's going to disappoint me. He's going to enrage me with some of his positions and some of the things he does. But he will enrage me less than Senator Obama. So there you have it. Two conflicting points of view.
Well, and, you know, the thing about the panhandlers, some of them make really, really good money.
Oh, yeah.
There are some pretty famous ones around Chicago that a lot of people have learned about, and I'm not going to go into it because, again, there's a lot of really, you know, a lot of people that are really in need, and I don't mean to diminish their need one iota.
Absolutely.
And maybe this country is in need of John McCain. I just can't see myself pulling that trigger.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
It is a tough one. And, you know, it's strange, but that's the way it is going to be. I want to introduce everybody to someone that's going to join us here in a second.
Cool.
Over the last several weeks, we've had kind of a flurry of activity in the party, and we have begun to see the fruits of that flurry of activity in that we have named several state directors of development, you know, to get our parties going, get our party going in the state organizational level. And one of them tonight is joining us. His name is Rick Webb. He is from South Carolina. Good evening, Rick.
Hi.
Hi, Rick.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm walking dogs. I'm great.
You suggested that you might have a contribution to our discussion about charity or the status of our general populace in being right.
Well, my view on that is that charity is a great thing, but it's very, very often used as the point with the richest guy in town, you know, and usually giving charity to someone who doesn't deserve it, I mean, who's in the right there? I mean, can you blame the guy for taking the charity? You know, he obviously doesn't need that money, you know, or John McCain may not need that vote, you know, so, I mean, it can go either way there. It was a very interesting discussion.
Well, I think it's one of those places where every conservative, not just the members of this party, but every conservative has to consider, you know, as we get closer to this election. I mean, somebody went to me, I don't know, when I suggested I wasn't going to vote for McCain back in March or April, they said, yeah, you might say that now, but come November 3rd, when it's down to the wire, you're going to pull the trigger on John McCain. And I thought, you know, I don't think so. John McCain's going to have to show me something, you know, pretty spectacular to make me consider that. And let me tell you, Sarah Palin almost sold me on that idea. John McCain's pick of Sarah Palin suggested to me that he understands the need to address the conservative base. The problem is nothing else has changed. And while I think she's a wonderful addition to the ticket, and while I think she'll make a wonderful vice president, she's not the president. He's
now,
the one
I agree
that's
with
going
that, and I disagree. Can I butt in, please?
Sure, feel free.
I think that he chose her with all the best intentions, but the long and the short of it was that he was trying to cater to the female vote. And I don't think that what she actually stands for is what he stands for.
Oh,
so,
I agree
that she would make an excellent vice president. And sometime in the future, I think she'd make an excellent president. But I think that she was chosen for the wrong reasons, and it was almost unfair to her to do that. The national spotlight at that point.
I don't think he was pandering to the women vote. I absolutely think he was pandering more to the conservative vote. And given the response of conservatives to Sarah Palin, I think that probably is true. I don't know. I'm certainly not in his brain, so I don't know what he was thinking when he did it. I'm glad he did it, but he's still at the top of the ticket, and he's the one that I'm going to be voting for or not voting for. And, you know, so he's certainly energized the conservative base. Whether it actually will turn out to be helpful to him in the end, no, it's going to help him. Whether it will be enough to help him will be the question. And
I don't disagree with any of that. I think I probably agree more with Tracy that I don't think that was a bid for the woman vote. I think that was really a bid for the base. And if so, that was an excellent selection. I think Sarah Palin is more qualified as vice president than the top of the Democrat ticket. Whether that pans out, I'm kind of with Rick and Tracy on that. I don't know if that's enough to take care of the election. I do think that conservatives have to build a farm team. We aren't short of talent, but the bench is a little thin, and we need to build up those people that are actually conservative. I think Sarah Palin fills that bill. I think Bobby Jindal fills that bill. I think Michael Steele fills that bill. So we need to do those things that build those people for the future leadership positions of a conservative movement, not a Republican movement, a conservative movement.
Well, and that's where we're going to rely upon people like Rick at
yep.
the state level.
Absolutely.
Know, working at finding those conservative people that are running for local offices, that are running for state offices that we can support.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at politicians, I mean, not in terms of, oh, they're a pork barrel person or they're not a pork barrel person or whatever, but if you just look at politicians and what their road is, they start out on the school counselor board. They move up to the county supervisor or the city body, whatever that is. And from there, they move up to their state legislatures, and from there, they move up to the national. And our challenge is to find those people, to get them on that track, to support them, and to make sure that they stay true to their conservative beliefs. They can't be co-opted by that system.
Well, yeah, I want to say that, you know, I'm torn in the following manner. I want people like Sarah Palin to be in local positions because
yep.
that's where they have, for all practical purposes, the greater impact.
Yes.
You know, Sarah Palin at vice president is a great thing for conservatives.
Yes,
Sarah
it is.
Palin as governor of Alaska is very good
awesome.
For Alaska.
It's awesome. Yes, it is.
You know, it's very good for you know, it's one of those things where you say, here's this really great person who's running for president, and, you know, I kind of wish they'd actually stay where they are because they're doing a lot of good there. You know, if Sarah Palin becomes vice president, you know, Alaska is going to get left a little bit high and dry. You know, I kind of feel bad for Alaska in that regard.
Yes.
I don't know that I want to feel bad for Alaska. I'd rather feel better for us, but,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing. I don't want to get too much on to Sarah Palin because, she's not the front of the ticket. But I do want to ask both of you, both while I've got you here. On Saturday night, I watched for the very, very first time Saturday Night Live.
Me too.
Yeah,
okay.
I watched it. It's been years.
Okay. I've got to say, one, it is the least funny thing I've seen on TV.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Victoria suggests that it is the funniest half hour on TV.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that it has...
30 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know that it has 30 minutes of funny. It might have 10 minutes of funny, but I don't know that it has 30 minutes of funny.
Exactly.
In any case, a lot of people were back and forth about the idea of Sarah appearing on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did fine, and I think it helped her.
I think it did.
What's your opinion? Rick, what's your opinion?
Well, I think it did help her because, you know, one thing it showed that for whatever, you know, anybody else says, she can stand up for herself. You know, and as the second name on a ticket, a lot of times you don't get, you know, to say, hey, I can get up and stand on my own 2 feet. But she did, and then she was criticized for doing it, and people were urging her not to do it. But she decided that it was what she wanted to do, and she did it. I respect her greatly for that. And I think she handled herself very well.
And I agree with that. I think that the idea that we have to wrap Sarah Palin in cotton batting and protect her from the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune and all of that kind of stuff is hogwash. I mean, this lady came up in Alaska, took on the vested interests, both in her party, the Democratic Party, and the oil interests, and she won. And she put people in jail doing that, both in her party and the other party. That takes, one, guts. Two, it takes political savvy. And three, it shows a determination of purpose. And I'm telling you that those attributes trump everything else. She helped herself going on SNL and saying, here's who I am, and yeah, you can poke fun at me, but there's some things that I won't do. I'm not doing that rap thing, folks. And there are some things that I will do. And I think that she exposed herself to, 14 million people? That was the number that I heard that viewed that show. Who,
it was the most watched Saturday Night Live in history.
Yep, absolutely. And she said, "Here I am. Take your best shot, and I'm going to wind up smiling about it." And I thought, "Yep, you rock, lady."
Victoria thought it was kind of odd that they didn't put Tina Fey and Sarah Palin on at the same time, other than that little walk-by as Tina Fey went, oops, and got off the stage and let Sarah Palin go into the thing. You know, I don't know. I mean, it probably could have been rather interesting one way or the other. Maybe in the back of her mind, Tina Fey really knew that she didn't belong on the same stage with her. I don't know. That's probably too harsh. But
I don't know. Here's what I think about that. Saturday Night Live is a comedy show. I mean, that's what it is. It's what it grew up as. It's what it is today. you and I and Rick and others may not appreciate that comedy, but that's what it is. It's a comedy show. Its only value is exposure for up-and-coming talent, for people that want to be in that business, and for the people that show up on it that say, you know, I'm willing to let you take your best shot at me, and I'm going to come out of that fine. I'm going to come out of that looking like, yep, I can take that, you can take your best shot, and I'm still going to be standing at the end of it.
I'm going to change focus here a little bit.
Okay.
Promises. Joe Biden made a promise on Sunday. Did you listen? Did you hear it? He promised, mark my words, the world is going to test Obama if he wins.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And people are going to find that he has a spine of steel.
Or spaghetti.
I would suggest that spine of steel is wedded to Joe Biden's nose.
Or perhaps his Botoxed forehead. I don't know.
I don't know, but let me tell you, Barack Obama has got to be standing in the suite at the Waldorf Astoria, spitting his It's Iranian caviar all over the floor. Because I can't, you know, it was bad enough when, you know, Biden suggested that Hillary would have been a better choice.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Sarah said today, thanks, Joe, for warning us. You know, come on. You know, Joseph, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Shut up!
Yeah, and I suspect that's what Senator Obama has told him.
You know, people talked about people talked about having bets about how long, you know, Sarah Palin would be on the ticket before she got bumped out. Let me tell you, whatever that was, Joe Biden was going to beat it. In seriousness, you have to wonder what it is that he thinks. You know, I agree with him. I think we're going to have, you know, issues over the next 4 years that are going to be serious, that are going to test the mettle of our president, whoever it is. I don't think that is wrong. I don't think, you know, John McCain's going to get away without having an issue like that pop up. I don't think it really has to depend upon, you know, Barack Obama, you know, actually being the winner there. I think it's going to be a problem next time around, no matter who's the president. But it was the next part that really got me and really started me thinking when Biden said, we're going to need your support because everyone's initial reaction to his reaction will be negative.
Yeah.
And we're going to need your support at that time because it won't be apparent that our position is right.
Yeah. That's worrisome.
That scares the no, it doesn't. I fully expect that Barack Obama is going to respond to an international crisis wrong. You know,
at least inappropriately.
I don't know about inappropriately, but
it will be inappropriate.
No, I think it's going to be wrong. I think he's just going to do it wrong.
You can say wrong because none of us have the same kind of information that any administration has. What I can tell you is this: if you talk about national security and if you talk about what are the appropriate responses to a challenge. You can have wrong responses, which ultimately lead to a diminished presence, or you can have inappropriate responses that either, one, encourage whatever the initial provocation was, or that tells the world stage that, oh, we know a button that we can push here. And so I distinguish between a wrong response and an inappropriate response.
I can't imagine what horrible nightmare is coming down the pike, other than knowing that some horrible nightmare is coming down the pike.
Yep.
And Barack Obama's philosophy of governance, his philosophy of foreign policy, suggests to me that his response to that crisis is not going to be what the United States, what Americans want our response to be.
And I agree with that.
I do too.
And what's going to happen is Americans are going to go, oh, crap, and then they're going to have to eat it because we're stuck if he's the president. This goes back to my charity thing. I thought about this before I wrote my post on charity.
Yourself into voting for McCain yet.
No, I want you to understand. I was thinking about this when I wrote that. So
yeah.
I was actually thinking about this in more than just the simplistic way that it might come across earlier. I believe, what would Barack Obama do if Iran announced that it had a nuke and it threw a conventional weapon into Israel? Not actually landing at Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or anything like that. They just launched a conventional weapon and let it land in Israel after telling everyone they had a nuke.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What are we going to do at that point? Barack Obama could sit on his hands, and that might, in a lot of people's mind, be the right response.
Really?
I believe it's the wrong response.
Oh,
but,
good.
Anyways, that was the one thought that I had was, I really don't think, as absolutely insane as I think Iran is, that it would actually drop a nuke into Israel. I really don't think they're that insane.
Oh, I don't know that I agree with that, Tracy, at all.
I don't either. I mean, based on just things I read this afternoon, about them calling an emergency meeting of OPEC to immediately raise oil prices because they're having a drop in revenue to their nuclear program.
Mm-hmm. I think of it a whole lot more as there is a mentality that says, I don't care if I die as long as I win. And given that mentality, I'm not sure that Iran would not, in fact, lob a nuke at Israel. I don't have a great degree of confidence that would not happen.
Here's why I think they won't do it.
Okay.
Because they're going to spend however much time they have spent and how much more time they're going to spend to get enough material for one. And then they're going to put it on a missile and send it to Israel. And I would suggest to you, based on our own experience, and I think the United States is actually considerably smarter than most of anybody in Iran, based on our own experience, the odds are that thing is going to land in Israel and be very, very messy, but not go off right. What it'll be end up being is a dirty conventional bomb.
Man, that's a whole lot of hope, Tracy.
Well, here's the thing. Assume for a second that they tried to actually nuke Tel Aviv, and that was the result. Okay? Now they've launched their one nuclear bomb, and Israel has, by some estimates, almost 100. Okay? I got a hunch that Israel is going to retaliate, and what's going to be left of Iran is going to glow for years. So I think what they'll do is they'll say, see, we can do it if we just want to, and then they're going to hold on to that nuke and hope that, God, nobody bombs them till they can get two.
Man.
And that's my opinion about where I think that might go.
Well,
I don't know. It's
certainly
Tracy, hopeful.
God, I hope you're right. You know, that's all I can say to that one. I don't see that as the probable culmination of what Iran has been saying. I think Iran has a megalomania of being the determinant force in the Middle East. And in order to do that, they've got to show their chops. And unfortunately, they have painted themselves into the corner by saying the way we show our chops is to eradicate Israel.
Nuke doesn't do that.
Except that I'm not buying your idea that there's only one nuke. I mean, if I can produce one, and I have the centrifuges to enrich uranium to a weapons-grade thing, then I can continue that program.
Well,
so Tracy, you may be right. Okay, I mean, you may be. I'm just not willing to bet, to make an existential bet, that that's true.
Well, that's my scenario, and I'm sticking with it.
And you're sticking to it. All right, lady. All right.
All right. I'm going to shift this again.
Cool.
Let's see if I can do this right. Bear with me here.
Okay.
From a song from Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And
oh, cool!
As you might get from the words, an angel is coming down, and it is on Christmas Eve, and its task from God is to find out what we have done since the birth of his son.
Oh, boy.
And the first time I heard that, I really liked the music. Everyone knows about my particular religious beliefs, but the thing about this is it goes back to our discussion about charity and John McCain. Okay?
Okay.
Here's my question. Conservatives, what have you done We, as a group, have been willing to be subservient to the Republican Party for the crumbs that it has been willing to offer us.
Yes.
John McCain has given us a very big crumb, but that's all it is a crumb.
Yep. Yes.
Right.
We, as conservatives, have made the excuse time and time again that we are too busy with our lives, too busy with our families, too busy with our communities to get involved in the political process that doesn't have much impact upon us.
Yes.
It's been an abdication of personal responsibility. I disagree with our willingness to accept that what is God's is God's, and what is Caesar is Caesar's.
Okay.
Caesar is not God, and he is certainly not my master.
But he thought he was.
Yeah, well. The Augustus Clavius Obamas is not my master either. And, you know, the United States government is a servant. It is a servant of the people, and the people need to get back on the job.
Exactly.
And conservatives have been as bad, if not worse, in this regard, because we have just worried about our own little part of the country. There has been some notable exceptions, and frankly, I'm a little disappointed about them. I'm not going to get into too much of them at this point. Everybody's going to give me way too much problems about it as it is. But conservatives have gotten really riled up about some social issues. And if there's one thing that I've been pretty consistent about for the last 8 months dealing with the American Conservative Party, is that social engineering by the left is a horrible mistake. It has failed terribly, but it is a horrible mistake.
Yes.
And too many conservatives want to make exactly the same mistake, thinking they're trying to correct a horrible mistake.
Yes.
Conservatives, two mistakes do not make a right.
That's exactly right.
That is
true.
Social
engineering is wrong. Social engineering from the left to make society and us better is wrong. Social engineering from the right to fix us is equally wrong.
I agree.
And I really like what the angel found when they came down, when he came down to the earth to find what we had done. And frankly, you guys are going to go have to buy the album and listen to it to find out what the story is.
No, I'm going to go on Pandora. I'm going to get it.
It will warm, you know, your heart and enjoin you to be charitable. This is not an argument for voting for John McCain. It is an argument for conservatives to get off their butts and get active in the political process. At the state level, at the local level, at the national level. We have 5 minutes. Go, Bill.
Tracy, I am absolutely in agreement. Conservatives have been AWOL. We have been absent without leave. We have ceded the arguments to liberals. We have said, oh, we're too busy, we're taking care of our families, oh, I can't go to the city council meeting. Oh, I can't go to the board of supervisors meeting. I'm busy taking care of my family. I'm sorry. I am a person who does not like politics. I hate politics. Politics in this day and age is the art of personal destruction, and I abhor that. I think that is so wrong on so many different levels that I can't even begin to tell you how bad that is for our body politic. At the same time, I have to tell you that people that say, I'm too busy, I can't pay attention to that, I have to take care of my family, are abdicating their responsibility as citizens of the United States of America.
But are they really taking care of their family?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to not do this so that I can do that. You know?
Right.
But one is just as important as the other.
Exactly.
It is the idea. It is the idea of personal responsibility. It is the idea that we as citizens of the United States have an obligation to exercise those freedoms and rights that we hold inherent in our existence. And, we talked a little bit about it in chat, this idea that, you have to vote. What do you do when you're faced with the lesser of two evils? Do you vote one of those evils? I oppose that idea. My whole argument for being with the American Conservative Party is that I am no longer willing to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Yep.
And I am as much to blame as anybody else for putting us in this position. If we don't participate, and that doesn't necessarily mean voting, I am going to make the argument that voting, that if you think that getting out and voting for John McCain on November 4th is your participation in the political process, and then you can just go about the rest of your life normally, I'm going to tell you, wrong, it's not enough. You need to participate in the political life of this country because John McCain is just the very, very tip of a very underexposed iceberg that is slamming into this country. We have got to become part of the process. And it's something that we have stopped doing.
Yes.
I'm hoping that people like you, Rick, and our new directors in New York, Virginia, Florida, hopefully pretty soon here, Texas, and our first executive director that we had in Louisiana can help build these organizations at the state level that allow people to get back involved in this process. We have about a minute or so left. Rick, any last words?
Well, I'm going to do everything that I can to try to help things out because I agree 100%. If we're not involved in the decision-making of our country, then it's not really our country. We've hired somebody else to run it for us.
Bill?
And I agree with that. I mean, if we aren't willing to get involved, then we deserve what it is that we get. I mean, if you are not involved, if you say, "Oh, I need to leave that up to somebody else," then if everybody says that, where does that leave anybody? Where does that leave the people on the school council or the city council or the board of supervisors or your elected representative at the state? What
seconds.
It says to them is, "Huh, gee, nobody cares. Okay, I'm going to do what I want to do."
All right, people. Now you've got your marching orders.
AmericanConservativeParty.org.
Okay. Get in, get on, become a member. Join us. And we will see you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Bill. We'll
okay,
talk to you again next week.
You betcha.
Bye.
Bye.